You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining us here today, friends. Happy Tuesday to you. You have tuned in to WGOD. That is the call letters I would call my radio station if I owned one. Because I know the secret, and I share it with you. God is always broadcasting. It's up to you and I to tune into His frequency. We are about today to listen to part two of this message, Moses, the Man of God. I've decided to go back and play this short series. I think it was a month long. Moses, the Man of God, and the life of Moses. So here today, now we're still back in Genesis. We haven't seen the birth of Moses yet. We're looking at the things which took place right before the birth of Moses. We're going to start today's program looking at this famous conversation here between Joseph and his brothers. When his brothers thought he was going to kill them, he said, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" This is Genesis 50, verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Interesting that he would say that. Even the bad things that happened to him, Joseph recognized that God was the one that orchestrated them, and that God intended to bring good out of them, just like Paul recognized some 1,500 years later, all things work together for good. Now, here's part two of this message, Moses, the Man of God.
What do these guys have that we don't have? But this is what Joseph said. He says, "So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about as it is this day, to save many people alive." You see, church, this proves what the Apostle Paul said, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. See, now Genesis 42:36, Jacob cries out and says, "All these things are against me." And I say to you, wrong. All these things are for you. He just couldn't see it at the time. He couldn't see it. All these things are for you. It is God who is at work behind the scenes. You just can't see it. All things work together for good to those that love God. If you don't love God, none of this matters. All things work together for bad if you don't love God. Do you love Him? Is your name written in the book? Have you received Jesus Christ? All things work together for good. Now, God might not cause the difficulty in your life, but He can and will cause it to work out for good. That I promise you. Though He reserves the right to cause bad things in your life too. This is what we're talking about in Sunday school this morning. All depending on the level of one's stubbornness determines how God must deal with us. Right? Some people, all God has to say is, "No, don't do that. And they say, oh, okay, God. And then there's other people. Right? You know what I mean? Has God ever had to use a sledgehammer on your head? Just wondering. Wonder if I'm the only one. Get to know this verse. All things work together for good to those that love God. Okay, now here, now Joseph is not sore. Look at what he says in verse 21. He says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them, spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Now Joseph saw Ephraim, that's one of his two sons. He saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. There you have it. On to Exodus chapter 1. That's the backdrop for this. There was a drought, a seven-year drought, worldwide drought. God caused all these bad things to happen to Joseph to get him there, gave him dreams and visions and the understanding of dreams. He gets elevated to the second in charge over all of Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Now Joseph died, and all of his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And a new king, we could say, that did not know God ultimately, right? Same as in this country. There's a new king here in the USA that doesn't know God either. Because if he did, he wouldn't do the things that he did. It's very simple. You don't have to wonder. If you are king, and if you don't follow this book, then you're not doing the things of God, and you don't know God. Because if you knew God, you would fear God. Knowledge begins there. The fear of the Lord. Wisdom begins there. You want to solve all the world's problems? Do what it says in this book. Elect me president, I'll solve all the world's problems. Follow what it says in this book. Add God back into the schools. Add God back into the government. Notice, too, how both our king and this one are both abortionists. Verse 9. He said to his people, look, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Huh. Abortion because of fear. I hear that one all the time too.
Well, what happens if you're raped or incest? They always use that argument every time to defend abortion. They always use this limited option.
Here it's, come, let us deal shrewd. In other words, let's kill every man child because they might join our enemies and fight against us. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if a daughter, then she shall live. What does that sound like? Hello, sounds like Mao Zedong to me. This is China. This is exactly what they do today. Verse 17. Check this out. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. Wow, normally this would get you strung up, wouldn't it? They feared God. The midwives feared God, did not do as the king commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives can come to them." Not necessarily a lie. An expansion of the truth. Next word is the word therefore. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Now look at verse 21. Notice the reason why God did what he did. So it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all of the people, saying, "Every son who is born you will cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." I hear Charles Stanley say all the time, "Obey God and leave the consequences to him." Doesn't he say that? That's his slogan today. And that's so true. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. That's what these midwives did. They obeyed God. They feared God. They obeyed God and leave the consequences to him. Years later, Daniel proves the very same thing. He feared God and trusted in him and obeyed God rather than man. When man contradicts God, and God had his back. Paul says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I say it again. If you don't fear God, then sorry to say, you don't know nothing. Whether or not you're Pharaoh or whether or not you're president of an individual country, if you don't fear God, you've got no knowledge. So this is the scene in Egypt. Anti-Semitism is now ruling the day. All the world hates the Jew. Sounds just like today, doesn't it? Isn't it funny how all the world doesn't hate every last Frenchman? Why? How come you don't hate every last Venezuelan? Every last Italian? Only the Jew. All the world hates the Jew. We have our very first world ruler that has a mad passion to destroy the Jews. Well, let's see how this plays out. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. "And a man of the house of Levi went and took out..."
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.